Hey, y'all. Welcome to the People Purpose Podcast, the show that explores the ins and outs, challenges, and opportunities HR people managers, and of course, all employees and people face at work every single day. I am one of your co-hosts, Chaz Fields, and I am joined by my smiling workplace bestie and co-host,
Julie Devlin. Hi. Why do I have a water bottle back here, Chaz? I should move that water bottle.
That looks like one of those ones that you get from the hotel.
Oh, yeah, probably. There we go. That's kind of cool. There we go. Yeah.
That basketball is going to make multiple appearances in the future, by the way.
I think so.
I feel like that's going to be like a staple of the office. Hey, Jules, what's on your mind?
Should I say basketball? You know, I went to Iowa, and I know this episode is going to be dropping a little bit after our little my little Iowa trip. But for those of you who follow me on LinkedIn, you would have seen that I was most excited to go to Iowa for my speech that I was giving at the Iowa Employment Concert, but equally as excited to go there to get
concert. Clark
concert, conference. But that's funny. It was a concert.
Yeah. Funny.
So it was an HR concert where we were going and we were playing all
about
HR,
employment,
all songs about work. Anyway, thank you for calling me out. Conference. So I was excited to go to get Caitlin Clark gear, and I found the motherload of Caitlin Clark gear. Yeah, she's pretty good.
I've heard of her.
So yeah, so I got a shirt, and so I'm so happy. Everything that's going on with women's sports is a lot of fun. So how about you? What's on your mind?
Similar, also on my mind. Did you see the stat that when Iowa played LSU, it was the largest crowd to watch a game, you know, globally, of any NCAA event ever?
Yeah, 12.3 million. And that number has actually since been trumped by the finals. So,
right. The game that just played.
Oh, the game that, yesterday. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought,
yeah,
you
the
meant,
game that just played yesterday. Yeah. So that, two games ago, if you will, before the national championship, for the women's NCAA, which is really impressive. It's, man, she's a lot of fun to watch, man.
You know what? And I'll say this, she is, but there's so many other talented
players. Agreed.
Yeah, talented players that are now in the spotlight because of the hype and everything, and just really, really good time. But that's not why we're here, right?
No. Not why we're here. So this one's another special episode, Jules, because we get to have one of our friends, but someone who has just an amazing reach and an amazing story and impact. But before we bring her on, we have a stat. What is the business stat, Jules?
Yeah. So, Chaz, corporations in 2022 gave more than $21 billion to nonprofits. And that's great. But here's the other thing to know about that number. 78% of donors, people who contribute to nonprofits, are unaware that their company offers a matching gift program and the specifics surrounding that program. That's according to 360matchpro.com. So I feel like there's a little disconnect there.
Yeah, why?
Well, there's a disconnect because people that are working at organizations are giving money to nonprofits, which is awesome. But that impact could be doubled, sometimes even more than doubled, if they would just understand and know that their organization provided a matching program. But the question becomes, you know, why? How do we get that message out there?
What a perfect segue. What a perfect segue, because we have the most amazing guest with us, Miss Heather Geronimus. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
So, Heather, the reason we brought you on today is obviously a Global Pay It Forward Day is coming up. Mm-hmm. And we wanted you to, number one, tell your audience who you are, what you do, and kind of share your story. So maybe we start there. Who are you? What do you do? And then we're going to dive into, hey, how do we get rid of this disconnect that Julie just described?
Absolutely. So I'm so honored to be here. I love your podcast. Big fan. So thank you for calling me up. So I oversee global social impact for UKG. And, you know, it's a great honor to do that. Actually kind of straightforward, but I think when I was growing up volunteering in our community, I've literally been volunteering since I was 5 years old. I didn't know that this could be a career, right? I think that's something that's really in the last like 15 to 20 years has really solidified as a career, leading out social impact for a community, for a company. So really fortunate that my childhood passion and something that I continue to do throughout high school and college, and then really seeking out organizations that cared about communities. My first job was at Bloomberg, first internship, first job, super caring company in New York and abroad. So I've always really been drawn to companies with purpose and companies that care about their communities. And when I joined our company almost 14 years ago, I made it a goal to lead corporate philanthropy for then Ultimate Software in 2011. We were so philanthropic that, and it was really led by our CHRO and our CEO at the time. And I said, I wanted that to be my job. I wanted there to be the need for that job at that company. And ultimately in 2015, it did become part of my role. I volunteered for that role until I got it. And then in 2019, I officially took over all of global corporate philanthropy for Ultimate. And then as we navigated the merger and became UKG and defined our purpose is people. So when you say your purpose is people, that means that you really need to put your money where your mouth is, not just in your internal practices, but in your external practices. Originally I was kind of serving dual roles as part of the marketing department with All View. I was a leader in the PR team and a leader of philanthropy. And a couple of years ago, I had the great opportunity to join Brian Reeves' team, to join our chief belonging, equity, and impact officer as part of his leadership team, focusing full-time on this work, full-time on social impact, on employee engagement through volunteerism, and how we really support and scale our strategic philanthropy with the business.
Yeah,
I was gonna say there's a lot there, Jules. Yeah,
there is, but for our listeners also, Heather's full title is Senior Director of Social Equity Opportunity and Impact, and I think that's really important because I think there's a difference between philanthropy, right? The director of philanthropy, and we're taking that a little bit farther and saying social equity. Right. So a lot of your role, Heather, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am, has to do with sort of bringing people onto the same scale from an equity perspective. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. When you think about, really easy way to think about it is everything that we do in our kind of traditional diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging motions create equity of opportunity for UKG employees and future employees. And then our social equity opportunity and impact opportunity. Excuse me, I can say all those words. Our social equity opportunity and impact efforts take our purposes, people, and our diversity efforts, and then we take them into the community. And how do we create equity of opportunity in our communities? For all, not just for future UCrewers, for people in our global communities, focused a lot around our headquarter locations, of course, of Weston and Lowell. And we have a strong philanthropic presence in India, where we have a huge presence as well. But really focusing on creating equity of opportunity. A perfect example is recently we had an Empower You session here, which is really usually focused on college students and kind of in getting them into the motion of understanding UKG, understanding about the opportunities that we have here, and it's focused on underrepresented talent. We hosted it here in Weston at our headquarters, and we had the opportunity to also include high school students. So I didn't just go to any high school down the street. I went to Handy, which is another one of our nonprofit partners, that they serve abandoned, neglected youth that really, and the only, they've been dealt a bad hand. They may be experiencing homelessness or domestic violence, or they may be caring for their siblings as teenagers. And so I went to that school and I brought them here. And that's creating equity of opportunity. I didn't, our headquarters is in a beautiful place in Weston. The high school down the street has a lot of opportunity. Those high schoolers at Handy do not. So it's really thinking about how we can get into our communities and provide that opportunity in the areas that we focus on are health, human services, and education. There's, every company chooses to focus in different ways, but those are how we see the opportunity spectrum for UKG.
Is that a thing? So each company, when it comes to their philanthropic or their focus of their philanthropy, they generally have just a few areas where they focus. I guess because it's so broad, right? You can't save everything, right? You want to,
correct?
But how do companies go about that process?
So really you start with your purpose, right? So for us, as we talked about, our purpose is people. So we're broad. We can do a lot of things, and you could almost make a justification that anything fits there. Health, human services, and education kind of covers the spectrum, because you know, you could be in school with no shoes or not have lunch, and you can't. So you need that human services component. You also need that health component to really create kind of that opportunity spectrum. But if you're starting out, if your company has got a couple hundred employees or even a couple thousand employees and your budget is small, think about your purpose and what your company can do. So if you're a grocery chain, you're probably going to tackle hunger. You may only tackle hunger. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a healthcare system, you may only look at things across the health spectrum. But it's important to be able to do that, to know what you can say yes to, but also what you can say no to, and just to always go back to that purpose that you've set, because there's not a finite budget in philanthropy anywhere. So, you know, we do not have Mackenzie Scott money. I wish we did. She's giving, but every company needs to kind of think about where their focus is going to be. And it's really good to not just determine it as this, you know, head of social impact, but you want your stakeholders, your C-suite, you want folks to agree with you. You want it to be marketable to both your employees and to your communities as well.
That's amazing. And there's so much there. And I know we're going to kind of get to the brass tacks for, you know, our listeners who are like, hey, you know, Heather, where do I start? But before we do that, walk me through. You said you'd started volunteering when you were five, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been your life, right? So it's clearly, it shows a lot of your character and your passion and the growth that you've experienced. How, like, walk me through that from 5 years old to Bloomberg to UKG 2011, Ultimate Software 2011. Like, can you just, how?
So we probably have to give a lot of credit to my mom. Let's give the original credit to my mom.
Shout out to your mom. Okay. Yeah, shout out.
So my mom was volunteering for the National MS Society. She was on the board of directors, and you know, just went everywhere with her. So one of the places that I went with her, and this is literally one of my earliest childhood memories, is walking through the mall wearing a t-shirt that said "Ugly bartender," it said "Hug me, I'm ugly," and the event that it was promoting was the Ugly Bartender event for the National MS Society. I don't think they do this event anymore, but it was a charity fundraising bartender thing. And this woman, I was five, and this woman stops my mom in the mall. I mean, she's like, "You shouldn't. Your daughter shouldn't be wearing that shirt. She's not ugly." And I was like, no, UGLY stands for understanding, giving, loving you. And we're looking for people to participate in a fundraiser for the National MS Society. And I talked about MS probably in a more eloquent way than I could today, because now I focus on so many different causes. But I was very purpose-driven. And by the way, then I was shy. You both know me. I'm not now. But, you know, volunteering enabled me to kind of find a voice and find purpose and find something to direct me all throughout my life. When I was in middle school, and things are like terribly confusing in middle school, I led the community service committee. I think I also made it up, but I led the community service committee. To help people get their hours. So I would organize things to make sure that all of my peers got their hours. So we would go to the MS walk or, you know, different things. And same thing in high school. Did it in high school and then ran it back again in college. I was part of an organization called Jewish Heritage Programs that was a volunteer-led committee that served our Jewish community there. And I met the most fascinating people. We delivered meals to Holocaust survivors. So really volunteering gave me connection with people that I never would have connected with. So it's always really been something like fundamental, teaching me something or giving me an opportunity to do something, even the opportunity to lead people before I was a people leader. So there's just always been this flow through in my life. And then in 2009, for the first time after a lifetime of volunteering, I needed a nonprofit. And I kind of never thought that I was always in service of nonprofits. I never thought that I would need one. But my father was killed by a drunk driver when he was crossing the street in Miami in January of 2009. And there's no good way to lose anyone, and I'm not judging here, but that comes with a whole set of circumstances. So it's a crime. It's unexpected. didn't have to happen because that person didn't need to be driving. And it was, you know, it was tragic and terrible. And I thought that I could handle it all. And these folks from MAD, for Mothers Against Drunk Driving, reached out to me. And in the beginning, I didn't accept their help. I didn't think that I needed it. But when I did, I remember calling back the person, the stranger that called me offering assistance. And I was in a car that I remember the car, I remember where the parking lot I pulled into when she and I connected. And I spoke to this woman for like 90 minutes about services and things that could help me get through what I was going through. And it was so remarkable that if I hung up the phone and I had never called her back and I had never raised a dollar for MAD or never done anything, that's what the organization was there for. And I thought, I have to do something for this organization. Mm-hmm. So I got involved as a volunteer after the criminal case was done for the person that killed my father. And over the last 15 years since my dad died, the South Florida community has really wrapped its arms around an event that I started called Walk Like MAD and MAD-Fort Lauderdale. And we've raised millions of dollars. But more importantly, we've brought the community together before tragedy occurs. And that's the power of what nonprofits can do, right? They can bring people together to create solutions in a different way than anyone else. So I think like that both sides of my life happening and coming together of serving nonprofits and then needing a nonprofit and understanding what that power is just really solidified my passion. And then joining a company like ours that had this opportunity and this passion that was similar to mine, you know, just gave me this opportunity to say, hey, I want to do that for a living. And here we are.
Yeah. I love that you're able to take your passion and bring it to your, you know, to your work. I mean, that's huge, right? It's so remarkable, that story. You know, I think that for our listeners who maybe they work at smaller organizations or organizations that maybe don't have a leadership team or powers that be, if you will, who are supportive of corporate philanthropy or, you know, even volunteer hours for employees. I mean, what are some of your recommendations for how companies can just take a step forward, especially if employees are asking these questions?
So I think taking a step back, kind of justifying the function and also, or even just justifying having the activities, you know, at UKG, we believe social impact's a business imperative. It's not just nice to have. And it's not just us saying it, right? So according to Porter Novelli, 85% of consumers say they choose a brand that supports a cause or charity over one that's not. So if you're advocating internally for a little bit of a charitable budget or a little bit of an opportunity to allow your employees to go out and serve their communities, there's some brand lift that happens there. And then according to our friends at Great Place to Work, employees who are proud of their company's community contributions are 70% more likely to respond positively on their well-being index. So we know that this matters. Another one that I love, it's not outdated. They just haven't refreshed the survey, but in 2017, Deloitte did a whole volunteerism survey. And 89% of those respondents think that company-sponsored volunteer activities create a better working environment. So I think like take some of these stats and go advocate for the opportunity. But if you don't feel like you can go get, you know, paid time off for volunteering, like we're so fortunate to have, it's worthwhile to swap out a happy hour with a volunteer activity. Because in that same survey, the employees rated happy volunteer hours as much higher than a happy hour as something that brings employees together. So I think it's worth just taking a different opportunity, a lot of different options. So you bring your team together for an offsite or an onsite, include a volunteer activity. We just had a group that came in for the legal summit came in and they made capes and masks for kids. And they're going to be donated to Kids in Distress here and the Wish Project in Lowell. And it could be as simple as that. It could be as simple as writing cards for hospitalized children through an organization like Cards for Kids. It costs a couple bucks in construction paper and markers, but what a great way to end a meeting to do something wonderful for someone else. So I think you can start small by incorporating it into kind of existing motions that your company has before you even think about, can we have time off? Can we have a day off? Can we have an international event, which I know we'll talk about, but there's definitely small ways to incorporate it. And even just like I said, reallocating that happy hour to a day of service. I know you all in marketing are huge on service, and we're always helping plan events for onboarding and marketing service days and for the holidays. Great way to bring your employees together.
Yeah, it's really special because I hear a couple of things, and I don't think that there's anything wrong. You mentioned like brand lift and culture, right? There's like you're serving an organization. Why not serve together for another organization? So right. it's not just talking the talk. You and I talked about this last week. We don't just talk the talk. We walk the walk here. Absolutely. How can we say the things publicly, but then not follow up with today's access to information? Julie and I see it all the time where companies will, you know, put something out there and then all of a sudden, you know, they didn't actually do what they said. And then employees are like, whoa, hold on. Like what am I getting into? And the other piece of this too, that I heard you say is resources, right? So many times companies think or people think inside those organizations, well, we don't have the resources, right? Or we don't have the money. Yeah, but you do have an extra 15 minutes in your day at the end of the meeting if you build it in, if you choose to build it in, right? The choice being the key word, to make masks for kids, right? Mm-hmm. You know, our team, the advisors, we went and did the Broward County Food Bank, right? And out of all of the things that our team has done together over the years, I would argue it was the one thing that brought us closer together than anything, right? Because we were together, serving together. And it didn't take resources other than our time and the gas to get over there, right? Because they welcome people to come and help for Feeding America, Jules.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, something that you said and that I was going to say also, Chaz, about, you know, the Feeding South Florida, what we did as a team, our group for our team retreat, we took half of our team retreat, half of a day, and we went and we volunteered. And I feel like that was definitely more impactful, if not more, right? Impactful than some of the things that we talked about, you know, in our meeting in terms of bringing people together. But, you know, even if the C-suite or the powers that be at organizations aren't keen, right, on making investments on a global scale, that doesn't necessarily mean that teams can't make their own investments, both monetarily and with time.
That's right.
In volunteering. So what you were saying, you know, Heather, hey, you know, instead of, you know, looking at the macro of, hey, you know, we have to do everything at once, why not start small? I remember when we were at, it was one of our sales kickoff events, I believe. And, you know, part of that was creating the coloring, the markers, bookmarks for people.
Yeah.
Like I just think about all of the different things
build guitars.
Building guitars, things that we can do to give back. It's just a matter of finding those opportunities, because no matter where you live in the world, let's just say in the States, especially, there are local nonprofits that can use your help in some way.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's
right. And it doesn't have to cost either. I mentioned a couple of free things and a couple of, like, small cost things, but, you know, if you think about it, every company has a special skill, right? So we, in the building behind me, we've got tons of software developers, and a lot of those folks, and I'm not stereotyping, but a lot of those folks don't love the hands-on volunteering, but they love the skills-based volunteering, and nonprofits need that too. So you can think about time, talent, or treasure. Like, I firmly believe, and obviously it's been ingrained in me since I was very little, but everyone has something to give, you know, and it doesn't have to, if you're an individual or if you're a company, it doesn't have to be a giant check. And sometimes the hands-on volunteering is even more meaningful than the giant check. Nonprofits prefer both, but there's a lot of meaning and value. And especially what I love to see is when we take our employees somewhere, they often return. I've heard story after story about how those employees go back, and that becomes their nonprofit of choice. They take their family there. They take their kids there. Now, both of you don't live down here in South Florida, but you may go to your food bank with your family because you had that experience here in South Florida. And that, you know, that opportunity to inspire employees, I think as HR professionals, should like really excite you. Giving that like one little taste of serving the community that might spark a flame in someone that could become, you know, year-round volunteering or even more.
Absolutely.
I can assure you with our manager, that will be where we are every time we are all together in Florida. I can promise you.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually from a business perspective too. I'm working with some other food banks who are going to be utilizing UKG's products just being able to have said, hey, listen, I've been in there, right? I understand what's going on. And by the way, we want to come volunteer at your organization too. Mm-hmm. It really is just a win-win all the way around. So
absolutely.
So admirable. Yeah. What's that?
I was just gonna say that's a really good tip for your viewers and listeners, is that food banks are some of the easiest nonprofits to find and volunteer at. So if you're like, I don't even know where to start, go on Feeding America's Food Bank Locator, which is right on their homepage of their website, and you can put in your zip code and you will find the closest Feeding America branch to your location, and they have easy online signups. It doesn't take, I mean, you should have a team like mine because they're amazing, but it doesn't take a team like mine to place your employees with something like that. And that's a really great, easy, no cost first step that anyone listening can take.
So let me ask you this. All right. If you had to narrow it down to three steps, right? Like three steps to activate this philanthropic, whether it's donations or employees, like what is the HG, Heather Geronimus, by the way, HG, what is the HG like magic sauce, or formula to get people to move in the right direction?
Sure. So I think it's kind of, we've talked about some of it, but just to distill it, so think about your purpose. How does what you want to do or what you would like your company to support you starting? Because it's important to know that this function sits in a lot of different places, right? So it could be the HR professional driving it. It could be someone in the marketing department. It could be someone in legal, where a lot of ESG initiatives sit. And now this what we have here with being part of the diversity team is a new kind of emerging trend in philanthropy, but you could be anywhere in the business. But you really start with your purpose and start with your purpose and how serving your purpose through community work will come together, then it makes a lot of sense. It'll make sense for you as a leader trying to advocate above and, you know, and to the sides, but it also make a lot of sense for your employees to come along with you. If they're, you know, they're again, using the kind of grocery chain initiative or idea, if you're a grocer and you ask your employees to tackle hunger with you, makes a lot of sense. If you ask and you tell your leaders, we're going to have a national day of service where we go out and help deal with food insecurity, makes a lot of sense. I think the second thing is, think about what you want to do. So is it time, treasure, or talent? Is it product? Are you in an industry where you can donate computers because you're a computer company, or if you're, what can you donate? Is it all three or is it one? It's fine to start with one and then go into more. So you need to really distill down, what's your purpose? What are you going to do? What are you going to donate? And what makes sense for your business? And then, you know, we talked about this, about not having leadership buy-in. Get your leaders to buy in by distilling it down to, this makes sense for the business, this makes sense for what we can handle at this time. You want your leaders out there volunteering. Every time my team, and even when we have a national or an international day of service volunteers, our chief belonging, equity, and impact officer is there with us. Jody's out there, our chief marketing officer is out there volunteering with us. You want them there. And then I'll give you a fourth, which is really important. You want to create that camaraderie and pride around it. So how are you telling the stories? If the stories only live in my head, they're not as wonderful as if other people can see them. So for us, we have an amazing interactive experience called Stories with Purpose, where you can see these stories from the whole team, not just the social impact team, but you can see how they play out. And then hopefully that serves as inspiration for your employees, for your leaders, and also for your communities.
Well, I'm inspired.
I do have a question about that, because I think a lot of people, organizations, companies, whatever, think that they have to commit to like something daily or weekly, right? Mm-hmm. It could be a once a quarter project. Am I missing that, or is it? It could be a once a month, like. Is there a time associated to it? Okay. Yeah, I think that's one of the myths, right? It's like, well, once you commit, you've got to do it constantly. And I don't think that's fair, right?
Yeah, I think that falls into that for that kind of second idea of figuring out like what you can do, what's reasonable for your business.
Yep.
So, at UKG, we've got kind of two international service opportunities, one coming up Global Pay It Forward Day and one Ucrew Kickoff Week, where we mark essentially being Ucrewers and being UKG by serving our communities. But that's what happens when you say our purpose is people. But that's going really big. And we are a big company that can, that has a team and then extended team members and our ambassadors that can handle that. But if you're just starting, you know, and depending on your global footprint, or if you're even just, you know, you've got a headquarters with 100 people, starting small and saying, I want to have a day of service, or I just want to try going out into the community as a pilot, so you don't freak anybody out that you're overcommitting. But yeah, I think just start with getting started, right? Do one thing, and then people will, I think, again, the employees will want more, leaders will want more. Once you see it and kind of get inspired by it, I think it kind of has a life of its own.
Last thing before we wrap up, Global Pay It Forward Day. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So Global Pay It Forward Day is an international day of service. I didn't make it up. I wish I did. Started in Australia in 2017. And when, you know, when I was working for Ultimate, we were a primarily US-based company. As UKG, we've got this amazing global footprint, and we were really looking for an international event to celebrate. So 3 years ago, we found Global Pay It Forward Day, which is really just a day about kindness, right? About taking one action to do something for someone else. And we decided that that made sense for us. Like, we can do one thing. And this is kind of what, to your point about starting small, it could be as simple as we've inspired an employee to pay for the coffee for the person behind them in the line at, you know, on the hub floor in Lowell. But what we also do is we plan, I think we've got over 30 opportunities for our employees to serve around the world and to take advantage of their volunteer, their paid time off for volunteering. During that week, Global Pay It Forward Day is actually on April 28th, happens to be a Sunday this year. So we're celebrating on Friday, April 26th, but we always at the end of April coalesce around service. And we've got all kinds of different opportunities, but you mentioned food banks, Julie. Food banks are one of the prime opportunities for this. Usually it's inside. They can usually house a lot of people. So in those 30 opportunities, lots and lots of food banks, lots of rebuilding together locations all over the country where people help keep people in their homes that they own, but need a little bit of help from a refurbishing or ADA compliance sort of, you know, helping. So there's lots of different ways. And, you know, we hope that everyone gets involved in one of those days that we, these opportunities that we've planned, or through our ambassadors, who the Belong Equity and Impact team has ambassadors. So the ambassadors plan their own events, because we've got employees all over the world. Our team is only 5 people, so we can't possibly plan something where everyone is, but we have empowered this really amazing group of individuals across the business to help us kind of, you know, make that effort even bigger.
Amazing. Chaz?
It's truly amazing, Heather. We can't thank you enough. I, even though we've known each other for several years, I still continue to learn from you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all of the impact that you bring, not just to UKG, but to those that you surround. And you're obviously a bundle of energy. You and I have never met a stranger in our lives, which is pretty incredible. True. And I know we can talk for hours. As we do every episode and wrap it up, and I'll start with you, Jules. Hey, what'd you find your purpose in today?
I found my purpose in realizing that on 4/26, that's a Global Pay It Forward Day. And even if I can't volunteer, I'm going to do something kind that day.
That's right.
There's my purpose.
That's right.
Yep. I love that.
What about you?
I found my purpose in having this conversation and thinking through small ways that companies can start. It's, you know, we were 2,500 people when I started this, this work. So it's really cool to think about how small ways that companies can start, because the impact that someone that listens to this podcast can make is immeasurable.
Love it. Chef?
Yeah. And I would say I found my purpose in just do something. Right. Just do something. And I can't imagine there's a perfect way to volunteer or do something good, but you can do something. And I think that's what I heard from you today is, hey, it may not be perfect the first go around, but if you don't try, you know, you're not going to build your culture. You're not going to help your brand. You're also not going to, most importantly, have the most impact outside of your organization that you can. And I think that's really, really special. So Jules, you want to wrap us up?
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us on social, give us a review, and we can't wait to see you next time on the People Purpose Podcast. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, y'all. Cheers.